v'zeicha last day of Shabbos to learn inside Perek Aleph, Seif Gimel, Yinikis Torah Shabal Peh, Beginizim and Hashemayim, Begilui Meha'aretz. We saw how Golas, Rav Kook explains how Golas doesn't only mean doesn't only mean Knesset Yisrael being driven away from Eretz Yisrael. It's not only the Golus of the Jewish people, but Rav Kook is explaining that it's the Golus HaTorah, it's the Golus of Torah. And Golus of Torah means that there's a separation between the Chosn and Kala that we've been talking about the past month or so, between Teresh B'Chsav, which is the Chosn, which is Min HaShemayim, and Teresh Baal Peh, the Gnizu Min Ha'aretz, which we've been talking a lot about the last few weeks. Teresh Baal Peh, Kala. And as a result of this Golus, as a result of the Golus, Rav Kook says that something horrible has happened to the Torah. Something horrible has happened. What's happened is, he says that Nifidu HaTa'imim, the twins, the Ta'imim, have been separated. Nifidu HaTa'imim. Teresh B'Chsav, Teresh B'Apeh, we spoke about this last week, that one of the most affectionate descriptions of the relationship between Chosn and Kala, between Kodesh Baruch Hu and Yisrael that we have in Shir Shirim, Ta'imei Tzviya, Ta'imei, Ta'imin, Ta'imasi, Ta'imasi, Al-Tikri, Ta'imasi, Elo, Ta'imasi, Ta'umasi, that Kivyochel Hashem says that you're my twin. You're my twin. My beloved, my twin. Meaning that the meaning of that is a tziur, an image of two who are inseparable. Not only that, but two who have mahu afata, who have so much in common. And in Golis, Rav Kook says, Nifridu hata'imim. We saw that because we are not in Eretz Yisrael, and because we are lacking all of the zivugim that are necessary, everything to be in place in our home for the Chosn and Kala, Kuhuna, Malchus, Shoitim, Shoitrim, Sanhedrin, and so on, the whole Seder is missing. Because of that, what's happened is that the Torah Shebichsav, Pairachus Umal and Yitzim Schaber, is not able to Torah Shebichsav, because Shikav Torah Shebichsav cannot join together in all of its splendor and glory with Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebichsav cannot join together. And Nifladnis Alsa Torah Shebichsav Limra, and the third line on page Yudal, we did this last week, just to chazer for a minute, the third line on page Yudal, that as a result of this Nifridu HaTa'imim, the twins have been separated, Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebichsav. And that means, what's happened is, Nis Alsa Torah Shebichsav Limra, Kiddusha. The Torah Shebichsav has gone up, has retreated to the heavens, to its place of Kiddusha, and the yard of Torah Shebaal Peh ba'imek tachtis. And the Torah Shebaal Peh has descended to the lowest depths, ba'imek tachtis. And even though Rav Kook says that during this time, the Torah Shebaal Peh is mekabelus yinika chashoyis, is receiving quietly, silently, some of the light of Torah Shebichsav to keep it alive, to keep Torah Shebaal Peh going. Nevertheless, until that day that we return, until that day when the Jewish people yinata al ha'aretz v'yisagse b'chol hadar star, the Jewish people will return to the land and thrive in the land, until that time, there is this terrible separation between the doidim, the beloved, the chosn, the kal, the husband and wife. who can only truly be together b'nevei apir yoinam, in their house, in their special place where they're supposed to be together, they're supposed to live together. Or Chama, or Halavana, Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebaal Peh. What is the meaning of this on a very simple level? Last week we were talking more in the Oimek, just simply, that the Torah Shebichsav has gone up to Shammai, has returned to the place where it came from. It's a frightening picture. As Jews, all we can think about, and the reason that we're alive, is because of Matan Torah. It means that the Baruch Shalom gave us the Torah. The Torah came down from Har Sinai. Vayered Moshe, that's our lives. Vayered Moshe. Moshe came down with the Torah, he gave us the Torah. The Metzias that Rav Kook is describing is the opposite. He's saying, Nis'alsa Torah Shebach Sav L'Meroi Mekedusha. It's like, Torah Shebach Sav has gone back to the place where it came from. It's a pachad. Torah Shebach Sav going back to where it came from. And then the Torah Shebaal Peh left, well, what's going on? The other half of the equation, the twin, this is what's happened. And in the absence of Torah Shebach Sav, the Torah Shebaal Peh sinks deeper and deeper and deeper, as we spoke about last week, into pilpulim without their Ribono Shel'Olam. Into hair-splitting arguments and discussions that do not seem to lead many people back to the Bari Olam, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but more into their own egos, more into themselves as they sink deeper and deeper into the world, which is the opposite of what we would expect for the study of Torah. The Torah says that since Nifridu HaTa'imim, something terribly, terribly tragic has taken place in the world of Torah, and we may listen since we're the people of Torah to us. On a very simple level, Nis'alsa Torah Shebichsav L'Meroi Mekedusha, that the Torah Shebichsav has gone back to the place where it came from. On a very simple level, it means that everybody believes in Torah Shebach Sav. This Shabbos is Pash Tetzav. We all believe in Torah Shebach Sav. And everybody has at home a complete set of Tanakh. A complete set of Tanakh that includes Chavakuk and Nochem and Zechariah and Malachi, right? Iyuv, Divrei Hayomim. Everybody has a complete set of Tanakh. So what's the meaning of Nis'alsa Torah Shebach Sav L'Meroi Mekedusha? L'Meroi Mekedusha could also be on the bookshelf. You understand? So we're very simple now. To its holy place. The same way that we put the Torah Shebach Sav into its holy place. In the Aron. And nowadays it's important that the Aron be locked. Or the Torah Shebach Sav, the Torah be placed somewhere else. So it could be locked. And it could be even in Bint Shuls, where you see that they have an iron vault. When they move the curtain aside, then you have the depressing sight of there being an iron vault. You think that someone's going to take out his watch for a chasen or something. And that's the place where the Torah Shebach Sav is being kept, in the Aron, locked up in a vault. Which as bekovedik as it is, it's not a problem of kovet. We all treat the Torah Shebach Sav with unbelievable kovet. Every one of us. And we have special places for it, and we take care of it in a good way. Just like we have in our homes. We have in our homes places, shelves, where we put the Torah Shebach Sav, Chavakuk, and Zechariah, and Malachi, and even Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, Yechezkel, and even Parshas Tetzaveh, and Kisisa, and Vayakel Pekudei, where they're put into a place of honor, but they have very little bearing on our lives. Meaning, I'm talking mamish, malchus shav malchus, on the simplest level now. Last week we were talking more, now I have to talk poshut. That one of the things that Rav Kook mourned over very, very deeply all of the years that he was in Eretz Yisrael, he began with this before he came to Eretz Yisrael, is how Torah Shebach Sav is neglected. How Tanakh is neglected. And even though everybody believes in Torah Shebichtav, and therefore everybody treats it with great honor, and as a religious ritual, every Monday, Thursday, Shabbos and Shabbos Mincha, as a religious ritual, the Torah Shebichtav is taken out of its vault and is kissed by everybody and then put on the bima for a few minutes and read. And those who are more committed are Ma'ariv Sedra, they go through the Parsha, with Rashi, or Shnai Mikra Echad Targum. Again, it's an important din, it's a ritual, and so on. But the general feeling is that it doesn't relate to us in our lives. We feel that it's beautiful, it's interesting, it's the holiest thing in the world, but what is it? What is it? So we keep in the Aron. Tanakh, without any show of hands, if we go over the names of those Sfarim that I mentioned, Chavakuk, Schaya, Malachi, even Yecheskel, Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, if we were to be tested, I'm not talking about Radax and Malbims, I'm talking about just the contents, the simple contents of the Bible, of Torah Shebichtav. Be a busha and a cherpa, even compared to Lo'alena, to some of those who are not B'nai Bris, in terms of their familiarity with Tanakh. And even when it comes to Torah Shebichtav, with the girls it's a different track, but with the boys, it's considered already to be a sign of weakness. If they've matured to Gemara, that's a sign of weakness. If somebody spends more than the few minutes that are allotted to quickly going over the Sedra, which is not even nowadays so posh that's done, so that's seen as a sign of an unsuccessful yeshiva bacher. Maybe he'll be a nice guy and he'll be like a mitzvah man, one of those nice mitzvah men, and he'll do good things, and maybe he'll join Hatzalah, or he'll pay all the bills and all the yeshivas and so on. But as far as being a lamdan, as being a serious Talmud Chacham, that's profound. Because we see that he's sitting around too long, a little bit too long with that Abarbanel, with that Malbim. So there's a danger that this is going to lead to serious Amaratsis, which I mentioned to a couple of Chavarim last week, that someone told me years ago that Rav Gifter, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, was talking to somebody, and Rav Gifter said a pasuk from one of the Nevi'im Achroinim. He said a pasuk from Navi. He was talking and learning, and Rav Gifter said, "Oh, this pasuk is some sort of a ray for what he was saying and learning." And the Bacher said, "I'm sorry, I'm not feeling." So Rav Gifter said, "That's a pasuk in Amos, in Sefer Amos." So the Bacher wasn't, but he just says, "Oh, I don't learn the Tanakh." So Rav Gifter said to him, I always knew that you were an Am Haaretz Midrabanan when it comes to Gemara. Now I know you're also an Am Haaretz Midaraisa." He said, "You're really a real Am Haaretz Midaraisa. You're not satisfied with not knowing Teresh Baal Peh. You also don't know Teresh Bechsav, right?" So, where does this come from? Rav Kook describes the tragedy of the separation here, which goes to the depths of creation. We were talking about this morning also with Tiferes and Malchus. That's what we were learning this morning. The separation between Chasm and Kala. Torah Shebichtav, the rainwater, and Torah Shebaal Peh, the mikveh. That's all that we've been talking about. But on a very practical level, Rav Kook cried about this neglect of Torah Shebichtav. And where does it come from? He writes in many places. And he alludes to it here. And this also, Torah Shebichtav, Limroi Me Kedusha. There's this feeling that people have that it's a very great and holy thing. It's so holy, it's so great, it's so exalted that I can't relate to it. Torah Shebaal Peh, we get to the nitty gritty in halacha, and Torah Shebaal Peh, mitzad hakala, we can relate to, we can understand. It deals with the lemaisa of every day. How do I, what does it mean? What's tefillin? What does it mean? What's Kedas Moshe Yisrael? What's Kedushin? What's Nisuin? I understand. What does it mean? And Dini Mamanis and Halachas between people. What's Geneva? What's Gzela? What's a Mashkain? We understand these things. This is Mamaloshin. We feel connected to these things because we see them in our lives, and it's part of being in this world. Torah Shebichsav, everybody respects. We put in the Aron, you lock up in the vault, click, 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 it's closed for the week. Next time it comes a Monday or Thursday, Shabbos, click, 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 and then you take it out. And then you try to go as fast as you can, Shnai Mikra Echatagim. If you're a weaker student in Yeshiva, you spend more time in Torah Shebichsav. If you don't get the Gemara as well, then you're not seeing such a shlach in the Gemara, maybe on a Thursday night, you look a little bit here and there. Not even, I'm not talking about learning Kedushas Levi. That's something that's going to learning Torah Shebichsav. Rav Kook was talking about learning Torah Shebichsav. Not only that I wanted to understand what the Kedushas Levi is saying, so I better check what that pasuk is. I've never heard of it. Gracious Baruch Lekim as a Shemayim Asarts. You know, so the Bedichat has a vart on that. I have to look that up to see what that means. Right? So it's really because I'm trying to learn the Kedushas Levi. And I want to hear some chizik from the Kedushas Levi, so I better check out that pasuk. I better check out the pasuk. Now they did it in the shasna that they're printing now. They give you the whole pasuk. You know that was like a big relief to all of us, because that always had the current Tanakh next to us, and we didn't have the whole pasuk, and we figured like why couldn't the Gemara just finish that pasuk, or tell us, you know, and now Baruch Hashem the Gemara is coming out that has the whole pasuk, and on the side there even with the kudus a little bit, and. So Golus, the Golus of Torah Shebichsav is that it's retreated to its holy place in the Aron Kodesh and on the bookshelf, on a very simple level. And as a result of that, those who are learning Torah don't really see the connection between Torah Shebaal Peh, how they live day to day, and Torah Shebichsav. They don't see that connection between the ta'imim, nifredu ha-ta'imim. There were great tzaddikim in the later generations who did everything they could to bring the ta'imim together. I mentioned before the Malbim. The Malbim was one of them, the Ksava Kabbalah. Tzaddikim whose entire lives were given over to reconnect Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh in our generation. Reb Mendel Kasher, did you even hear? I mean, some of you heard of Reb Mendel Kasher. Many of you didn't hear of Reb Mendel Kasher. It's an interesting name. Reb Mendel Kasher. What's the name of the sefer that he wrote? And who knows? Huh? Taurus Mendel. No? What's the name of the sefer? Try that. Yeah. Kosher Mahadrin. What?
Multiple choice.
No, it's called Taurus Shleima. Did you hear Torah Shleima? Torah Tamimi you heard of, right? From the Aruch HaShulchan Son, from Rabbi Baruch HaLevi Epstein. There's a Sefer Torah Shleima, multi-volume. Now it was put into a bunch of fat ones. It used to be, wasn't even finished. His son, Olav Shalom, took over afterwards. And his son died before the father, but he started working on it also. Reb Mendel Kasher was a big Ger Chassid, who was a huge Talmud Chacham, and he spent his entire life putting together without computers this magnificent sefer called Torah Shleima, which you can get in any Sfarim store now. It was reprinted already 15 years ago. First it was hard to get, it was all in separate black volumes. Where he brings all of the Torah Shebaal Peh that he could find, any Torah Shebaal Peh that's on that pasuk. So you open up in Parshas Tumah Tetzaveh, you open up in whatever it is in Chumash, and you read a pasuk, and then Reb Mendel Kasher brings all the Chazal from, of course, from the Gemara, which you already have in the Mikras Gedolos, the Toldos Aaron does a little bit, years ago, a little bit. And then you, and all the Midrashim, all the Torah Shebaal Peh together to connect to the Torah Shebaal Peh, and then he brings many explanations, and he examines the Chazals, compares the Chazals. It's a magnificent masterpiece of Torah in the last generation, one of the great masterpieces of Torah. The Torah Tamimi did the same thing in his time. There's a bit certain things that are controversial there in his Peirush. But again, Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebichsav. When the Vilna Gaon was Marvei Sedra, when he went over the Parasha, he used to be Marvei Sedra, he would sit just with the Chumash, and he would read the Pasuk in Chumash, And then he would say over by heart the entire Torah Shmuel Peh on that pasuk. That's how he was Ma'ariv Sedra. He would say the pasuk, and then he would say over all that exists in Bavli, Yerushalmi, in the Medrash, in the Zohar, in Tosefta, in everything in Torah Shmuel Peh, the Goyin would say over when he would. That's there's no one that could do such a thing. That's why he was called the Vilna Goyin. So we have Svar to reconnect the twins, to bring them back together again. It's a proof of how neglected this is, and how the Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh have been separated. That here we have fine Elohim, many who have never even heard of these Svar. Haksav HaKabbalah. Rabbi Mecklenburg, that's a long time ago, that's already a few hundred years. Also, we have it here, a magnificent sefer to show in the Oymek HaPshat of Torah Shebichsav how every word of the Gemara, every single word of the Gemara and every single word of the Medrash can be seen if you learn the pasuk in Torah Shebichsav b'Oymek carefully. Ksav HaKabbalah. Yes, typical people in yeshiva never heard of it, unless it was brought down, like in some likut that they got, where it's bring something from Ksav HaKabbalah, and they say, oh, that might be a Kabbalah thing, it's not for me. It's not Kabbalah at all. It's not one word of Kabbalah there. Ksav HaKabbalah means that Ksav is Torah Shebichsav. That Kabbalah means that we received, it's Torah Shebaal Peh. And the entire sefer, which was actually done over 3 years ago in a much more readable format, in a clearer format, the entire sefer, Ksav HaKabbalah, the one that I have, the old one, is two volumes. Now they made it a separate five. It's a masterpiece of Torah. As we get closer to Mashiach, more and more of this is happening to bring the twins together, to reunite the Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. This is very much connected to Eretz Yisrael. To explain what we learned last week. Because Rav Kook says that without Eretz Yisrael, this is not going to happen. When we are separated from the land, then the Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh are apart from each other. As we learned last week, nowadays, even though we're in Eretz Yisrael, it's not so pashut, of course, but and the ultimate tachlis of all this will be with Mashiach Tzidkenu. What's different in Eretz Yisrael? Rav Kook says that Tzvich Eretz Yisrael Yaz B'niyah V'chal Yisrael Yoyishim Alem Mesudar M'chal Sidem Mikdash HaMachas Kunan Nevu Shaitan V'shaitan V'chal Tach Sisem everything Oz Chai Yi Teresh Val Peh B'chal Ziv Tefarat Perachas Amal Anitza Mischaberes U'mischaberes L'Teresh V'chal V'chal Shiyu Kamas. Then can the Teresh Val Peh truly blossom in all of its splendor and glory in being reunited or being together with Teresh V'chal. And we spoke about this last week. The Talmud Bavli is beautiful. Our entire, it comes from, the Torah Shebaal Peh comes, was put together in Chutzlar. It's not in Eretz Yisrael. And here Rav Kook says that the system can really only work in Eretz Yisrael. All of this. The Talmud can be brought together. It's the same Torah in Eretz Yisrael, same Torah in Chutzlar. What does it mean? Why does this depend on Eretz Yisrael? It's the same Torah. What? If you take your Chumash or you take your Gemara on the plane and you get to Eretz Yisrael, then it's like your telephone. That's what to me is one of the most amazing things, how you get someplace and the telephone changed on its own. You know what I'm talking about? The time? The time did that on its own. But the satellite, right? The satellite told it. I don't know how come my GPS never changed the time. Because I thought that satellite. That's just a side question. Maybe somebody knows the answer to that. But as far as the time on the telephone is concerned, it changed automatically. You go to California, you'll have to go to Eretz Yisrael, and it changes. So maybe when you get out, you take out your Gemara, and you see something, oh, wow, it's not the same Gemara. Or it's not the same Chumash, it's exactly the same. What you put into your suitcase, or better yet, what you put into your carry-on, and you took with you on the plane, when you get off the plane, Bo Hashem, Ani Hashem, Lo Yishinisi, same Torah Shebichsav, and it's the same Gemara, whether you're here or you're in Eretz Yisrael. So what's the chilek? So Rav Kook is saying, the chilek is, U'mischaberis L'Torah Shebichsav, B'chol Shiyu Kamosa. It's not that there's any difference in the material. It's clearly the same material. in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laaretz, it's the same material. And because you're such an Eilech Hayid and a warm-hearted person, in your carry-on, you put the Tanakh right next to your Gemara, because you want the Talmud to be together. You learn this thing from Rav Kook, and you were very touched by it, and you decided, Chevre, I don't want you to be separate anymore. So in your carry-on, in your briefcase when you're going to work, you put a Tanakh and you put it right next to the Mishnayos or to the Gemara, and you say, all right, and you close the briefcase, and here they are, the Ta'imim are back together, the Chasna Kala, and the Cheda Hayichud in my briefcase, and the Chai. Right? But that's the truth. The truth is that it's not that the Torah is any different than Eretz Yisrael, but what Rav Kook is saying, that umischaberis l'tor shebichsav, that the chibur, the union, the yichud of the ta'imim can only take place truly in Eretz Yisrael. Golus means nifidu hata'imim. L'chadchila, every single second that a person spends learning Torah Sheba'al Peh should be connecting the Torah Sheba'al Peh to Torah Shebichsav. And you see that, as I mentioned last week, even when you're learning a Gemara, that the Gemara's concern from the very beginning is, how does this go back to Torah Shebichsav? This din that the Mishnah told us, Mino Hanemili. Where do these words come from? Mino Hanemili. Minolam. Where does this come from? Where did this descend from? Mino Hanemili. Where does it come from? And Lichat Chila, the Rebbeinu Shlom revealed to us Torah Sheba'al Peh in Eretz Yisrael, which is where it all began, where the chibur began between Torah Shabbosav and Torah Sheba'al Peh, in that place, which is the only place in the world where there can be nevuah, where there can be real nevuah, meaning only Eretz Yisrael, which is the place of nevuah, did we actually kivyachal see. And did we actually hear? The Nevi'im and the Nevuah of Eretz Yisrael means that the Chibur between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Sheba'al Peh is only possible in that place where Nevuah has been experienced and could potentially be experienced again. It's only possible in Eretz Yisrael. Torah Shebichsav is Nevuah. Is Divei Nevi'is. Torah Shebichsav is the rainwater, like we learn. Yarev Kemota Likhi. It's the rainwater that's falling from Shemayim. It's the Dvar Hashem. It's the Borei Olam speaking to us. And because of that, only in Eretz Yisrael can Klai Yisrael be a kli, a mikveh, that can truly connect to the Dvar Hashem, to the rainwater of the Dvar Hashem, and then there could be this connection between the mikveh and the bor that we were talking about. Nifridu ha-ta'im that Rav Kook is describing, nis'alusa Torah Shebichsav l'mroimei kedusha, that the Torah Shebichsav has gone off, back to heaven. Doesn't mean Chas V'Shalom has gone back to heaven, but it means that people don't really get involved with it too much. They put it into the Aron Kodesh, they put it onto the bookshelf, and they take it out when they're trying to understand the Gemara or the Mishnah. Again, this is less, obviously, with the girls, or more focused on Torah Shebichsav, which is in itself a very great yichud, which is being threatened by those women who want to learn Torah Sheba'al Peh, Hashem Yirachim. This is a big kilkel, not only in this world, but in all of the Olamis, a woman who starts to learn Mishnayos and Gemara, which they think it's a matter of equality. It's a matter of being the kalkel, the Olamis, and crossing wires and bringing Churban to the world, Hashem Yirachim. It's not just what you like or what you don't like. But the Yichud of Malchus, which is women, which is Torah Shebaal Peh, by them sitting and learning Torah Shebechsav, there's that Yichud, and the Ta'amim are brought together. And by men, Vateferes, which is Torah Shebechsav, learning Torah Shebaal Peh, then there's that Yichud that takes place. But that is very much dependent upon Eretz Yisrael. And in Chutz La'aretz, Nifrudu HaTarmim means not that we don't believe in Torah Shebechsav, but it's become a ritual and a ceremony. It's become Kriyas HaTorah and being Mavis Sedra, or looking up a pasuk, as opposed to a person sitting. I know every time that we would be in Eretz Yisrael, I would go to Eretz Yisrael and we would spend some time. I suppose there was a Yid, some of you might remember, I always think about him, he was a Tyre Yid. I don't know if you remember some of you, Chaim Mageni. Do you remember Chaim Mageni? You ever go with Chaim? You went with Chaim Mageni? It's a Tyre Yid. So he was like living and breathing Eretz Yisrael, living and breathing Tanakh. He knew Gemara also, but he was mamish on fire with Eretz Yisrael. He's an American Jew, but he lived in Eretz Yisrael for many years. He died very suddenly a few years ago. It was a big shock to him. And he lived in Kiryat Arba. And I spent a lot of time with him. Meant a lot. And every time after I came back from those few days that I was with Chaim Mageni, so I would come back and I would take the project that I'm going to go through now. I'm going to go through Treyasar Be'ian, you know, I'm going to learn it Be'ian. I'm going to really go through Tanakh, and I'm going to have every day, I'm going to put aside an hour for Tanakh, for learning Novi, inside, strong. And the Chishik, he like would light a fire to do that, and he was always screaming at us how you don't know, except mostly it was my wife and Meir when we were on this Tehillim that knew. But I was saying it's the Gemara and Ksubas, and he was yelling at me and you know, it's where we were in these places, and the women knew and the men didn't know. And then, you know, you come back, and when you're back in Chutz La'aretz, so first it's not, it wasn't even an hour the first day, it was like 45 minutes, and then it's a half hour, and then, you know, anybody ever hear of Chavakuk? What's Chavakuk? You know, what's Chavakuk? What does it mean? It's Chayim Malachi. What's Yishaya? What's Yechezkel? By the Rav Kook people, you see a tremendous resurgence. By the Talmidim from Rav Kook, and from Rabbi Yehuda, you see there's a very, very big resurgence, and therefore you see coming out from them Svarim on Tanakh and Shiurim on Tanakh. It's a very, very big inyan with the Talmidim from Rav Kook, because that was his thing. Joining together Torah Shebechsav with Torah Shebaal Peh, and joining together Torah Shebaal Peh with Halacha, which is going to be a major part of the second part of the Sefer, of the next part of the Sefer. Really, the connection between Torah Shebaal Peh, between Torah Shebaal Peh and Halacha L'Maaseh, between Halacha and Agada, all of these Zivugim, all of these Shiduchim, are the Shiduchim between the Chasam and Karla, Shemayim and Aretz. That's all that Rav Kook wanted. That was the way of the Vilna Gaon, is the way of Maral, is the way of the Shalach HaKadosh, v'chul v'chul. Those Tzaddikim that came before Mashiach, that came closer to the end of time, and was screaming to bring back together Torah Shebechsav and Torah Shebechet, to bring back Halach and Agada, to bring Jews back to Eretz Yisrael, were the same people. And the Vilna Gaon wasn't on fire with Jews going back to Eretz Yisrael. The Vilna Gaon was on fire with Yidden going to Eretz Yisrael. In modern times, there's a massive cover-up in yeshivas about that whole parasha of the Vilna Gaon. A big cover-up, as per the Sefer Kol HaTorah, and the missing chapters from Kol HaTorah, and so on. It's a big cover-up. The Vilna Gaon and the Inyan of Eretz Yisrael, and the Talmidei Hagra, and the Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov, who met in Yerushalayim and in Tzfas, they managed to get along, with some exceptions. They managed to get along. The Sfaradim were happy with everybody, right? The Sfaradim were just taking out a cup of tea and welcoming everybody into their homes, and they got the Talmidei Hagra and Talmidei HaBaal Shem, who in the beginning in Tzfas like had the daven in the same shul. It's hard. It's a whole sugya, that Inyan, because the same thing we're talking about. Shemayim and Aretz has to do with Ashkenazim and Sfaradim too. Torah Shebechsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. The Sfaradim always had more of a connection to Torah Shebechsav, and therefore the Sfaradim have a beginning with Chayk Yisrael. You know, they learn the Seder and Teresh Bechsav and Teresh Lopen, the same Chumash, which Ashkenazim, of course, we were too chashev to do such a thing, we're too smart. We don't need Teresh Bechsav. This Svadim is very sweet, they're very lovely. And, you know, this, what do you expect from them? They didn't have Rosh Hashiva like we have. So this Svadim, you know, you give them a little bit Zoyer, make give them a Kameya, Shabbat Shalom, and they're happy, you know, everybody's happy. But Ashkenazim are big maskil. That's why we could pride ourselves on some of the most choshev apikarsim, you know, in history. The Svadim, of course, never had such a thing, but apikarsim, the Svadim, all ma'aminim, b'nei ma'aminim. It all has to do with nifredu ha'ta'imim, with the separation between the chos and kala. Because when the Teresh Valped drifts far enough away from Teresh Bechsav, then there could come a point where you no longer believe in the one who gave the Torah. You understand? Then who's the nice in that Torah? If it sits long enough in the Aron, and it's locked in big enough vaults and enough cowwebs, it could come to a point that you don't even take it out anymore. Then there's no Bari Olam, there's no Creator. And then you could write books on the Zohar Kodesh, and you could write books on the Talmud, on the Babylonian Talmud, and the Jerusalem Talmud, you could write all kinds of books. And you don't even believe in the one who gave the Torah. Or you could live, let's try, that's a very extreme example, or you could live a life of Torah Sheval Peh. You could keep every halach in Hilchas Tefillah, but you never once thought about God. You keep every halach, you keep Hilchas Tefillah. You learn Hilchas Tefillah with Mishnah Berurah. Not only that, you learned it with your credit card and you underlined. So you learned the Mishnah Berurah, like my old Mishnah Berurahs when I never did it with a card, but so it's crooked. But when I was in yeshiva in high school, my whole Mishnah Berurah from learning yeshiva, since then I already bought a nicer Mishnah Berurah with bigger letters, but the old one, everything was underlined. No, it was right, there were no credit cards. Right. So it's all underlined. You could keep you know all of Hilchas Tefillah, and you come to Hilchas Tefillah and you know what this and you have to say that and you have a luach, and if God forbid the Baal Tefillah said something you shouldn't say. Like there was a friend of mine that told me he had this terrible thing, he was in a hotel. They went to the hotel and he got up they asked him Davin Shachris and he was so out of it. He doesn't know what happened to him. He got up and he started singing L'chun Ranana. He sat in front of like 400 people. L'chun Ranana, Allah Hashem. And the whole island started to scream. Shaykhanad. He said, oh. He thought it was Friday night. He started to sing L'chun Ranana. No? That's where we begin with Nusach Svad, with the Hoidu. And you shouldn't make a mistake like that, right? So he starts to sing. He says, so I said, oh, and it was like in a fancy place with 100 people. He said, it was a kapar. He's like, he's still here. Anytime he meets anybody, they say, oh, Lechuner, I don't know. They start. For the rest of his life, Lechuner, they might as well change his name to Lechuner, you know. The rest of his life, he's Lechuner, I don't know. It's not such a bad thing to be called. It's not such a bad thing. And then everybody screams out, Shaykhinad, Shaykhinad. But if you have someone that's talking during davening, and there's a yid that's a little bit of a canoe, and he goes over and he says, no. Derech Eretz, right? So they say, who are you? A Bal Musa? Who are you? Rabbi Yeruchim, Rabbi Chazkul? You're telling me what to do. I'm just saying that there's a God in the world, and you should talk to God a little bit. Ah, chutzpah. But if someone forgets to say Shaychenad, then everybody says, Shaychenad! Or if someone, or you see, when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, you have guys in every shul that they're like, the Reuschim of the Baal Torah. You know what I mean? You have, the Hashem has the Ashgacha Pratis that no matter what shul it is, even if there's like 11 people, there has to be a Reitz Seyach. There has to be one guy that when the person makes a little bit of a mistake in something in the Torah, in the Elaine, when he's reading the Torah, that there's a guy, he doesn't just like leave it up to the Gabbai to take care of. Or he doesn't do like, he has to scream it out. Like, you know, you get like angry. He screams it out. And every shul you have, there's a certain, he's like the you know, they're on guard. The Shomer HaChaimis in the shul to make sure that no one misses, and then they get annoyed if someone missed a chop, and someone missed a chop. He said a little bit. It was an ace, and he said an s. And they're going to have it the Mishkan or the ace and s and ace and s and Afkim. Where I come from, the shul where I grew up, he used to say you can make only two mistakes: chop and ivri. Anything. The guy said you could say. He said instead of s chani, you said eki. He says oh good. That's not a good thing, by the way. I'm just, but you have the guy in shul that he gets, oh, the guy made a mistake. And then not only that, there's a certain satisfaction. If you look at the Reitzim, you know those guys, after they make the correction, because they're waiting for that, or else there's nothing to live for. So when they make that correction, then afterwards they have a certain look on, if you look at them, they have a certain feeling of like satisfaction. I got him. He said S, it's an ace. I got him. And he goes home and tells his wife, I got him. I got the Valkyrie today. 4 times I got him. Right? So that year, Hilchos Tefillah 100%, everything's underlined. But the one who gave the Torah, the Bar Yoel. So you're so worried about every word in the old scroll. You're so worried about it. So how about the Rabbi Shalom? Is the nice and hot Torah? No. And how about, you know what? How about sitting during the week a little bit? Not just when it comes to Shabbos and you're correcting the Balkar. But what about during the week? How much time do you spend on that Torah Shebichsav? Learning it and trying to connect it and be in. So this mitzias of Torah Shebichsav nis'alsa l'mroi mekedusha, that the Torah Shebichsav has gone back to its holy place, and the Torah Shebichsav descending deeper and deeper into the dungeon of the world, this is the result of our separation from the land. This is what Rav Kook was saying. And therefore, the great dream that Rav Kook had of everybody coming back, it wasn't a matter of politics or a place for Jews to run away from Goyim. It wasn't it by Rav Kook. In the world, there's such a thing. It wasn't it by Rav Kook. It was the Chas Nakala being in their Aperion, meaning in their honeymoon suite together. It was the Ta'imim, the twins, being back with each other. It was Shemaim and Ares. It was Teresh B'Chsav and Teresh B'Peh being back with each other in the only place where Shemaim and Ares can really join together. Because it's the place of Nevuah. It's the place of Shemayim coming again, even though Maimon Hasina Davka was in the Midbar. That's what we're not going to talk about right now. But the place of Yerushalayim, Kimitzion Teitzei Soira, Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim, where Shmayev Aaron Nashke Hadadi, where heaven and earth are kissing each other, where you have the Kodesh Kadoshim, even though it's not built now, but that place of the Kodesh Kadoshim, which is the Cheda Hamitis, which is Cheda Herosi, which is Kivyochel, the honeymoon suite of Hashem and Knesset Yisrael. That's the Kodesh Kadoshim. It's called the Cheda Hamitis. It's called the bedroom. I mean, that's what it is. That's Eretz Yisrael. That's Yerushalayim. So we can go to Yerushalayim. We can look at the mountain. Erenev Le'atim. We're not even allowed to go there. We're not allowed to go in that place. So the same way that over the years Eretz Yisrael became like a place that doesn't really exist. It became this great romantic idea of a place where there are palm trees and everybody's a tzaddik. And there are these ancient buildings. That was the picture that Jews had in Golis all the years. Not someplace they could go to. Not someplace they could live in. Not someplace where you can take your hands and dig it into the ground and put seeds into the earth and get your hands dirty with the earth, right? So, but rather, it became something which is what? This alsa l'miroi mekedusha. Eretz Yisrael also retreated to the heavens. It became a thing, a place. My father always likes to tell us, he remembers how when there was a Yid, there was a very wealthy Jew in his town, and he went to Eretz Yisrael. And when he came back, all the Jews, all the men came to the shul. And he brought back some Paris Meretz Yisrael. And the Rav was crying. My father remembers that the Rav was crying. And he was cutting into tiny pieces to try to give everybody. And they started to sing. They were singing. It was a weekday. They were singing the Gunim. Things about from keenness. And my father remembers it was such a thing. It was Eretz Yisrael. Now we would say to the Tzaddik, to the Rav, they said, what's the matter? You don't have any... There's no frequent flyer mile? You're out, the frequent flyer mile? Something happened? You lost your cheshbon or something? Or just go. So what was Eretz Yisrael to those Jews? Eretz Yisrael wasn't a place. It wasn't a place that you go to and that you live in and that you breathe. Etch HaTorah was an idea. Just like the Sefer Torah, it's not even in here now. Just like the Sefer Torah, it's not here because we have to make sure it's safe. So we have to lock it up. Just like the Sefer Torah, it's not something you dig your hands into. It's something that you stand up for, you kiss, you revere, you honor, you love. But it's nifadu ha-ta'anim, someplace else. It's very great. Eretz Yisrael was always, all the years, oh, Eretz Yisrael? You have to read this, the book that came out now that they translated into English. I mentioned it during the week, I think, that they put on the Minchas al-Oz, you saw it?
No,
yeah. We were talking about it in the morning or something?
What was the name?
On Monday morning, yeah. They made this, I read this first. I have it at home in Lashon HaKodesh. There was a year that went with the Minchas al-Oz on the trip when he went there to Israel to meet the Tzaddik, the Sabbath Dishal Fandari. And it's a day-by-day diary of this chassid of the Minchas al-Oz that was together with the Rebbe every minute, and he wrote what happened. So now Artscroll put it out a few weeks ago, Journey to Jerusalem, on the Minchas al-Oz trip, Hafladik. I mean, I read it years ago in Lashon HaKodesh, but it's much better now because there's also some notes and some the pictures and it has in the back about the Tzaddik al-Fandari, different things. I read this last Shabbos. Wow. But it was like, you know, the Minchas al-Lazer, by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's seeing, you know. And he went, and the way that this Yid was such a tremendous Yid, the way he described it, the places that they went to, that until that time it wasn't something that really existed. And they couldn't believe it. See, it's not like us. My first trip to HSL was when I was 10 years old. And that was 1967. We went right after the war, we went to Israel. That was my first trip. And then after that, oh Hashem, many, 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 many trips over the years. I don't remember how many trips. And we lived there. No. But to our parents, it wasn't something that really existed. It was an idea. It was a goal, an ideal. It was a dream. And I had that for my parents. I remember when I went there the first time, when I was 10, so the thing that I had in my head between yeshiva and my parents, who had also never been there before, that was the first time they were there, the thing that I had in my head was like a dreamland. It's a dreamland. Over the years we learned that there are banks, and that there's shawarma, and there's falafel, and there are unfortunately criminals, and there's many of the criminals are in the Knesset. Many of them, they at least put them into one building, so they're not roaming the streets like they are over here. What does that mean? It means, like Rav Kook says, is descended the Yard of Tereshvateh Be'oimek Tachtis. In that place, in Yerushalayim, you have judges on the Supreme Court that know a lot more Gemara than us. That you have the people that are sitting that nowadays not as much as used, but used to have in the list, I don't know what the names, but people that were not Shem Shabbos, that knew Shas Baal Peh. You can't think of a bigger descent of Teresh Baal Peh, but Rav Kook says that you're the Teresh Baal Peh, but I'm Mektachtis. Where? In Yerushalayim, where there's a Supreme Court building, where the Supreme Court is a merit, is a rebellion against Torah Min HaShamayim. It's against the whole Torah Ma'isha, the whole Supreme Court in Eretz Yisrael. It's the Supreme Court in Eretz Yisrael, which they're the biggest, biggest fighters against Yiddishkeit. Is Davki from that place? Kimitziyon Teitzei Sarei Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. But that's the Golus. That's the separation. Therefore, when Rav Kook saw Eretz Yisrael that was built and Jews getting their hands into the earth and planting, and he was crying, come back, come back. He wasn't only calling for Jews to come back to be in the land because it's a Jewish place. It's our homeland. He was calling out to the Teresh of Echsav. He was calling out to Kutcher Brichu to come back. And when he was telling us to be in Eretz Yisrael and to learn Teresh Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, he was telling us to meet the chasm in the cheder hayichud, to meet the chasm. That's Rav Kook. It wasn't like we think, like you know, they're having you know, there's a meeting taking place, Matzei Shabbos and such shul to discuss, you know, Aliyah and so on. So nice things. That's not Rav Kook's. That's why they don't learn Rav Kook's Svarim in these places. They don't learn Rav Kook's Svarim. They talk about Rav Kook. I'm talking about the people who have the once or twice a year, you know, how Aliyah meetings or something about how we're going to influence the lobbying and so on. These kind of people, they're all nice Jews and they mean well. They don't learn Rav Kook's Svarim. They heard the name and they have their haritzim because they think that they have some connection to him because they have frequent flyer miles and they go to Eretz Yisrael a lot. And they knew that he wasn't like one of those who were against it or something like that. Some vague idea that Rav Kook's one of us. But not to learn his Svarim. That's not what he was asking. That's not what he was about. That's not what he was asking for. That's not what he was calling for. He was calling for the reunion of the Chasan and Kala. And he wanted the Teresh of Echsav. He knew that in Eshel, Teresh of Echsav will no longer be relegated to the Aron, and it will not have to be just a ceremony of Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, but Teresh of Echsav and Teresh of Alpel will be joined together, and therefore he pushed the Talmid Chacham. He loved Rav Kashi. He loved that whole, which was already beginning many, many years before, but that whole idea. I'm not sure if Rav Mendel Kashi met him. I don't know historically how that worked out. But that whole idea of Teresh of Echsav and Teresh of Alpel, which he was a Mekabel from the Beis Medrash of the Gra. That's how he grew up. On one side from Chabad Chasidim, and the other side from the Talmidei HaGra. And those two worlds are the two worlds that we're talking about. And to join them together was all that he wanted. And only in Eretz Yisrael, which is the place where we experienced Nevuah, where we were able to receive the Dvar Hashem, the Emes, where we felt the Chosn coming down, and the Kala was able to go to meet the Chosn, all of that was in Eretz Yisrael. And that's what Rav Kook is crying about. Therefore, Therefore, as I said at the end last week, on Tisha B'Av we cry about the separation between Torah Shabbosav and Torah Shabbatah. We cry about the murder of Talmid Chachamim, of the burning of the Gemaras. The same day that we cry about our being driven away from the land, it's all one inyan. It's all one inyan. The Golus of Klais, the Golus of Torah, the murder. And the deaths of Talmid Chachamim and so on. And what's happened is that ever since then, the Torah Shabbat has descended into the depths of what? In the best case scenario of people who are saying all kinds of pilpulim are going to hair-splitting discussions of Torah Shabbat Peh, but without feeling a connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to the Bari Olam. And that's the matzav of Golus that we're in. I'll just end and tell you that it happened, that it's brought down at the end of the Degel Machne Ephraim, that you know, when the Degel Machne Ephraim was the Baal Shem Tov's grandson. And the Degel was a tremendous, tremendous masmid. Unbelievable lamdan, a huge lamdan. It was the Baal Shem Tov's grandson, and when he was young, he was not yet really in the way of the Baal Shem Tov. He didn't really go with the grandfather and get involved. And he was a big masmid in learning. And he wasn't in the way of Chassidus yet. So it happened that once the Baal Shem Tov, it's brought down at the end of the Degel Machne Ephraim, that once the Baal Shem Tov said to his grandson, Moshe Chaim Ephraim was his name, that he wanted to go with him for a spetzir, for a little tiyul, to take a walk. And in the middle, the Baal Shem Tov asked his grandson, the Degel, he asked him, do you know such and such person? There's a Talmid Chacham in a village near there. You know this Talmid Chacham? And the Degel Machne Ephraim said, sure, I know him. He's a tremendous masmid, he's a person with tremendous learning. And he said that the Degel said about him, that he learns 18 hours a day. Sits and learns, doesn't move. Learns 18 hours a day. It's brought in the Degel Machne Ephraim. Now this is absolutely something that should not be said over to people who would be challenged by this next sentence, which you have to be very careful. But it's brought down Degel Machne Ephraim, that he heard it from his grandfather himself. That means the Degel Machne Ephraim heard from the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov asked him, do you know this Yid? And the Degel said, it's a big masmi, he learns 18 hours a day. So the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said, I would also like to be a masmid like him. But what can I do? I have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's brought down the Derech Machzorim. I would also like to sit fake now as a dead. What could I do? I have to be an Oyved Hashem. You don't understand if you say this in the wrong place, you're finished. What can I do? I also want to be an Oyved Hashem. I would also like to learn 18 hours, but I have to be an Oyved Hashem. It doesn't mean to say that the Baal Shem Tov was suggesting not to be a Masmid, Chas V'Shalom. And the Baal Shem Tov himself was a Goyen Olam. And we have stories from the Tzaddikim about the Baal Shem Tov's learning. That's not it. He was saying what we're talking about now. Nifidu HaTa'imim. The Baal Shalom was put into the Aron together with the Torah Shebichsav, locked up, closed, the Baal Shalom. And then you sit with the Mishnah, you sit with the Gemara and the Rishonim and Acharonim, and you're talking about Hashem, but not with Hashem. You're not learning with the Shechina Kadosha. That's the separation of the Ta'ayim. And the whole vision that Rav Kook had of coming back to Eretz Yisrael was to bring them back together. We should be zeichet to see with our eyes next week. And there's a whole Yom Tov of Purim, of course, is Kima V'Kiblu, which I didn't have time to go into. It's the whole Inyan of Purim is Kabbalah Satara. Me'ahav, it means receiving the Torah with the Rabbanu Shalom. That's Purim. That's why it's Ad L'Yada. That's why it's Ad L'Yada. That's why the Simcha of Purim is Ein Sof, because the Simcha of Purim is the Chibur of the Chasna Kala. It's the Ta'imim coming together. That's the Inyan of, that the Megillus Esther, the Megillus says Kisvun L'Beris, has all the Dinim of, is Kamita Shal Torah. It's the Din of Torah Shavach Sav, and Torah Shavach Peh, are all rolled up into the Megillus Esther. It's an amazing thing. The whole Yontif of Purim is the Tikkun of this Inyan, of the separation between Torah Shavach Sav and Torah Shavach Peh. Therefore, it took place with the Bnei HaGoyla in Persia, in Paris, the Bnei HaGoyla, Shahagla, Nebuchadnezzar, and so on. It's all about bringing together, returning back to build a base of Mikdash and itself, to bring Torah back to its Shleimus, which is Zeche, and which is sent to be Makabal, to be Mekayim, Me'ahav. We'll continue next week with the third paragraph.